Good evening, everybody, and welcome again to Grace Community Church Wednesday night service. My name is Wade. If you're tuning in, you don't know my name. Let me go ahead and open us up in a word of prayer. I forgot to do that about a month ago. I don't want to do that again. Father, we just thank you for this time to gather together, and we just thank you for this day, Lord. And I just pray that you'd help us, Lord, to open our hearts and our minds so we can learn more about you, Lord. And help us, Lord, to use your word to apply it to our lives so that we can be strengthened with your word to come against the things that come against us in this life, Lord. We just give you control of the service. And I just pray, Lord, that you'd speak through me. And I pray that only your word will be heard, not my opinions or what I think about things, but only your truth. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple of days after last week's service, I was praying, you know, about what the Lord would want me to preach on tonight. And it seemed like last week, almost every time my phone would go off, it was bad news from somebody, you know. There's a lot of people going through some really bad things right now. Like Randy touched on in his prayer. I mean, it's not just a couple of people here and there. It's almost everybody I know is going through something. And, you know, I think we preached a couple of months ago on encouragement, and I think right now would be a really good time to encourage one another, to be there for each other. I can't remember. Seems like it's been an awful long week, and I don't know if I told you last week or not, but one of my friends died last week. His name was Kimsey, and you know, he was more than a friend to me. He was more like a brother to me. We kind of grew up together, you know, in the same. We didn't really have neighborhoods, but in Jefferson County, you still have friends, you know. We live close to one another. We kind of grew up with each other. So he was more like a brother to me. But anyway, long story short, he was in jail, and they'd been transferring him from jail to jail, and he finally got transferred to prison, which was actually going to be a good thing for him, you know. They had the classes and stuff that he could go to, and they approached him with an experimental drug to ask him if he wanted to be part of a clinical trial for it, you know, to help him with his hepatitis, and he had cirrhosis of the liver and stuff like that. But he wound up having really bad side effects to it, and then he bled to death. You know, that was really hard to hear, because he was working really hard on getting himself straightened out. So that was hard to hear, but if I told you a couple of weeks ago, if we look for the positive, even in really bad situations, we can find them. And the Lord started reminding me before COVID, you know, we would go into jail over here and minister to them on a regular basis every week. And the Lord reminded me of the day, you know, went in there to minister, and I saw Kimsey, and we were happy to see each other. I wasn't happy he was in jail, but I was glad to see him. And, you know, usually at the end of the service, while we're there, we'll give them the opportunity, if they haven't already, to accept Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. And, you know, God just put that picture in my head of him. You know, he raised his hands, and he accepted Jesus as his Savior that day, and he professed it with his mouth. So, you know, we talked a couple of weeks ago about that peace that you have when you know somebody that you love that has passed away, when you know they're with the Lord. You know, that's a peaceful feeling. You don't grieve quite as much. I mean, I still grieve that he's gone, but I'm happy because I know he's with the Lord. And I got to experience that peace last week. And, you know, I've been praying that his family knows that peace too. So I've been praying for them. And my daughter called me last week and said that her husband's ex-father-in-law from his first marriage, he died the very same day I got that news. But, you know, she got to use that in a positive way too, because, you know how it is when you get married and you've got kids, and then the person that you married have kids. There's always that little bit of tension between those two families. And she had the opportunity to go to the funeral and, you know, share the love of Christ with her husband's ex-wife and his two daughters, and they're still doing that. So, you know, if we carry Jesus into these bad situations, you know, it makes all our little petty differences seem small. We just have to be willing to put him in those situations and look for the bright things in them. And, you know, there's another lady right here in the church. She told me Sunday that her brother had passed away. But she also told me that he knew the Lord, and she had a lot of peace from knowing that. So there is a whole lot of peace we get from knowing that our loved ones know the Lord. And that should encourage us to share the Lord with them. You know, I know a lot of people in my family that I have witnessed to, but it's hard to witness to them because you know they're not going to accept it. But that don't mean they won't accept it later on. It's still up to us to plant that seed in them. So even the people that we know are going to be hard to minister to, you know, that we know are going to reject it when we bring it up, we need to have those awkward moments, and we need to do that. The reason I'm telling you all this is because a lot of times, you know, when we're going through hard times, we tend to not run to God, but we tend to drift away from God. And, you know, we'll go back to our old ways of coping with things. You know, for me, as most of y'all know, it was my drinking. You know, I didn't run to God or to my godly friends. I would make a beeline for the liquor store or whatever and just go right back to my old ways of coping with things. But that's when we're going through those hard times, that's when we need to be running to God. And I know for a fact that there's a lot of people right now that are just giving up for one reason or another. They're giving up and they're walking away from the life that God has for them. And they're either isolating or they're going back around their old friends and just right back into their old lifestyle. And that don't get us anywhere that we need to be. You know, Jesus Christ is our hope. He's the only hope we have. And if we run away from him, then we are hopeless. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10, it says, "The name of the Lord is a strong fortress, and the godly run to him and are safe." So if we run to the Lord with our problems instead of away from him, you know, he is our fortress. And when we're seeking him in those hard times, then we're safe. We're not going to go to those places we shouldn't be. And then Psalm 46, verses 1 and 2, it says, "God is our refuge and our strength. He's always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when the earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea." That's saying it don't matter what's going on around you. You know, it can feel like your world's falling apart. But if we'll come to God, he is an ever-present help in time of need. So when everything is falling apart, we need to run to him, not away from him. And I know, you know, all too often in my own life, I'm not saying this about any of y'all, I'm talking about me. You know, when things fell apart, like I said a minute ago, I'd either run back to drinking or I'd run away from the person that I was having problems with. You know, if it was my wife, I would run away from her, or I'd just leave state, whatever. I'd just run away from my problems instead of facing them, because I didn't have that relationship with Jesus that I needed to have. And all that did was create even more problems and make the problems that I already had even worse. So I kept on praying about, you know, what God was wanting me to preach on this week. And while I was praying, I was out here in the parking lot doing a little work out there. And while I was working, I found a little stick pin laying in the parking lot. And it was upside down. And when I picked it up, it says, "Don't quit. Pray without ceasing." So that, you know, that's, I took that as God's, like, that's what you need to preach on this week. So that's what I'm preaching about. Don't give up. You know, don't quit. Pray without ceasing. When you're going through a hard time, take it to the Lord and he'll go through it with you. There is a verse in Proverbs that when I read it the first time, I was having probably the hardest time I've ever had in my life. And I was like, when I read that verse, I was like, "Lord, that's just making me feel even worse about myself." And, you know, I was like, "Why are you showing me this? My life's falling apart. I'm losing my wife, my home, my business, everything. And you're going to tell me this." In Proverbs 24, in verse 10, it says, "If you fail under pressure, your strength is too small." And when I read that, I already felt like a failure. You know, I felt like I failed as a husband, as a man of God, all these things. And I read that, and I was like, ugh. You know, I felt like God was picking on me. But he wasn't picking on me. He was reminding me that if I try to do these things on my own strength, it's not enough. He's telling me when the pressure is on, that's when I really need to rely on him and his strength. That's why it's important to have that close relationship with him in our daily walk. You know, that way when we do hit hard times, we don't have any problem going to him with our problems, because we've gotten comfortable talking to him when we do pray without ceasing, like the little pen there says. We'll feel comfortable going to God, and he'll be the first place we turn to ask for help. And one thing I have learned is when things do go wrong, the enemy, he don't have any mercy. As soon as he's you're struggling with something, he's going to hit you even harder in that area. When he sees a weak spot, he's not going to give you time to recover. He's not going to, like I said, he don't have any mercy. He's going to hit you even harder, and he's going to hit you while you're down. That's why we need Jesus to fight for us. Our strength, like it says in that verse right there, it really is small, but his strength is not small. The Bible says his strength is made perfect where we're weak. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm sure all of y'all have heard about Paul's thorn in the flesh. And he says, three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me." That's what I was saying a minute ago. Now, when I start going through something, I don't try to hit it head on by myself, and I don't run from it. I take it straight to God, because I know that's the only help, the only hope I have. Jesus said in John chapter 16, in verse 33, he said, I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on the earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. So whatever we're facing, Jesus has already overcame it. But again, like we've been talking about the last 3 weeks, you know, the choice is ours. We just read a minute ago in Psalms 46:1 that God is always there to help us when we need him. But it's our choice to go to him. You know, before Jesus, my choice was to run away or to fight back and try to take care of things on my own. But if we'll make the choice, like it says, and go to God, he's right there to help us. If we don't do that, then our circumstances overwhelm us. And every time we let our circumstances overwhelm us, they lead us to do things we shouldn't do. And that puts a smile on the enemy's face. It's easy for us, when we get mad, to say things to people we love that we wish we would have never said. Or if we're struggling financially and we get overwhelmed with it, instead of taking it to God, we make bad financial decisions, you know. We wind up getting little title loans here and there and just get ourselves further in debt, or we max out our credit cards. And, you know, the enemy's laughing the whole time because he knows what that's going to do to us. You know, I'm sure y'all have heard me say this in the last few weeks, or share this verse with you in John 10, verse 10. It says, the only purpose the enemy has is to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, my purpose is to give them a rich and a satisfying life. So the only purpose the enemy has is to steal from you, you know, to steal the joy out of your relationships, or just, you know, get you in such financial ruin that you're just ruined. To destroy your marriage, to destroy your friendships. He just does not care about you. He don't want you to have a bad day. He don't want to just inconvenience you. His plan is to completely destroy you. And just like God is always there to help us in our time of trouble, the enemy is always there to make things worse. And one of the biggest ways that he makes the bad situation worse is by giving you ungodly advice from people in your life. You know, we have to be careful where we get our advice from. If you're struggling in your marriage, he'll put somebody in your life to tell you how bad your wife or your husband is. You know, to pat you on the back and tell you that they shouldn't treat you like that. And if you're getting advice like that from anybody, it's not from God. God does not like divorce. In Malachi chapter 2 and verse 16, this is God talking. He actually says, for I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel. To divorce your wife is to overwhelm her with cruelty, says the Lord of heaven's armies. So guard your heart. Do not be unfaithful to your wife. God hates divorce. Now, if you're in an abusive relationship, God don't want you to stay there and continue to get beat up or killed. You know, there are marriages that for their own safety, one or the other does need to get out of it. I'm not saying you need to stay in a relationship like that. But if you just can't get along, that is spiritual warfare. That's not your husband or your wife. That is the enemy coming in between you. And trying to divide you and destroy you, like it says in John 10:10. So don't give up on your marriage. Take the time to pray about it. And, you know, if they're willing, pray about it with your spouse. You'll find more healing in that than you will anything. Or if you're praying by yourself, don't just pray for yourself. You know, think about your children when you're praying about it, because it affects their whole future. It affects everything about their life. And think about your spouse's future, you know, if you do leave and get a divorce. Just because you're mad at somebody, just because you're angry at them, at your wife or your husband, that don't mean that you want to destroy them. You know, at one point, you had to love them or you wouldn't have got married. So we need to take into account what it's going to do to our children and what it is actually to our spouse. You know, I've left my wife. Not even a month later, I'd be eyes out because of what I did to her. You know, look at it. Quick to not our responsibility in the arguments and stuff. Things work both ways. You know, that's just Satan trying to take away what God gave you. And don't give him the satisfaction of doing that. The grass is not greener on the other side. That's a lie straight from the enemy. And another way he'll attack you when you're going through a hard time is to try and keep you out of God's word and keep you away from God's people. And, you know, we need more than ever when we're going through a hard time to make it a priority to get in God's Word and to make it to church or to small groups or, you know, just be around some of our church family. That's where we, you know, that's where we're going to draw our strength from. Like we just read in that verse a minute ago, you know, if we fail under pressure, our strength is small, but His strength is unlimited. So when we're going through a hard time, we got to make it a priority to not miss church and to not isolate and separate ourselves from God's people. You know, He'll get you up in the morning when you're going through something like that and you're already got your mind all messed up. You'll be like, I really don't feel like going to church today. Or He'll throw some problems up in front of you. You know, I really got to get this done. This has to be done right now. And that's just the enemy trying to keep you from where you need to be. And it's at times like that we need to be aware that that's the enemy trying to keep you away from what you need. And that is to get in God's presence when we're going through a hard time and get around His people, like I said a minute ago, so we can get the encouragement we need or to be the encouragement that somebody else needs. Get to help you up. You know, out here in the world, if we start isolating ourselves or going back around our old friends and stuff, you're not going to find good advice and you're not going to find the help you need in the world. It's just going to drag you further down the hole you're in. So we have to build up our faith during hard times, not turn our back on our faith. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 38 through 39, this is God talking to. The writer of Hebrews is quoting this out of the Old Testament. And it says, and my righteous ones will live by faith, but I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. But we are not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. We are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved. God doesn't want you to turn away. When we turn away from Him, it only invites more destruction. But when we run to Him, He's faithful and He will help us. He'll help us through whatever we're going through. If you were here Sunday, Josh was preaching Sunday morning about the proverb that says, you know, talking about a dog returning to his vomit. And that's just like us turning around and going back to our old ways, thinking they're going to help when we're going through a hard time. You know, that makes no sense at all. That's why we came out of those lifestyles, because they didn't work. Proverbs 26 and verse 11 is where that's at in the Bible, if you didn't know where that was. It says, as a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his foolishness. And that's exactly what it is. When we go back to our old ways of coping with things here in a hard time, because we know they're not going to work, we've proved it to ourselves over and over. You know, I've proved it to myself over and over, but I kept doing it. That's why the Bible calls it foolishness. And Satan will fill your head full of ideas about it. You know, he'll tell you it'd just be easier to just give up and go back to your old ways, go back to your old life, and then you'll start fooling yourself into thinking, you know, that things were better in your old life. It's amazing how much we can deceive ourselves. I found myself doing that quite a bit, you know. And I know that's not the case. But Satan, if he can keep you dwelling on it long enough, you'll start talking yourself into, that sounds like a pretty good idea. But that is definitely a lie straight from the enemy. And I know a lot of people that have listened to that lie. And now they're miserable because of it. I know I was, you know, when I did go back to my old lifestyle, and I thank God every day that I finally got to the point where I swallowed my pride and humbled myself before God and surrendered to Him. But I know a lot of people right now within the last year, you know, that have quit coming to the classes they need to come to. They quit fellowshipping with the people in the church. They quit coming to church. free and doing good a year ago. Prison. You know, they got out of jail, they started doing good, and then they listened to those voices that told them it'd be better to go back. And now they're not only went back to jail, now they're in prison, doing a prison sentence. Some people have gave up on their marriages. They listened to the lie that the grass is greener on the other side, and they're divorced. And now their children are miserable too because of it. They're the ones that have to pay the price for that. And their spouses, their lives have fallen apart because single parents, it's hard to get by with both parents in this world. Single parents have a very hard time of trying to get by. So going back is never the answer. Not only does that make things worse, it creates new problems. And when you realize it didn't work, and I've been here, I know for a fact, it makes it even harder to come back the next time because the enemy's going to hold that guilt and that shame of turning back and going back to your old life. He's going to hold that over your head. And it's every time you do that, it's that much harder to walk back through the doors and admit what you've done. So don't let him do that to you. It don't matter what you've done. It don't matter what you're going through. God will be happy when you come back to him. You know, the enemy will tell you all kinds of lies. Well, people are going to say this or people are going to say that. I've heard and thought myself all those things. But when you do come back, God is always happy to see you come back. In Luke chapter 15, you know, it tells the story about the prodigal son. And in verse 20, this is how God is towards us. So the prodigal son, he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming, filled with love and compassion. He ran to his son and embraced him and kissed him. So when you make that decision, if you have left church and you have went back to your old ways, if you want to come back, when you make that decision, God's going to run to you. He's glad you're coming back. He's not going to judge you for coming back. He's happy you'll come back. He'll run to welcome you with open arms. You know, and don't let the enemy convince you any different. God loves you, and he always will. Paul says, you know, when things get tough, to stand firm in your faith. And remember, it's not the people in our lives that we're fighting against. He talks about this in Ephesians. It's the famous passage about the armor of God in chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Paul says, a final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground. Put on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on the salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. So if we look at those verses, that's what the enemy, that's where he attacks us. He wants us to compromise in one or all of those areas so he can make us weak. And he can, you know, if we start compromising in those areas, he can wreck our faith. You know, we'll drop our shield of faith and his arrows will start hitting us. You know, it says the belt of truth. We're supposed to have the belt of truth. When we start believing the lies of the enemy, then we'll forget the truth of the Word of God. We forget what God says about us, and we'll start believing the lies. We'll even start doubting God's righteousness. You know, does God really love me? And he'll steal from you that peace that it talks about, that comes from knowing that you do belong to God. He'll make you doubt that. He'll make you start doubting even your salvation. You know, am I really saved? And the sword of the Spirit is God's Word. So we have to be in God's Word, like we talked about a couple of weeks ago, because that's our ammunition. That's what we fight him with. That's what Jesus fought him with when he was being tempted of him in the wilderness. The only weapon he used was God's Word. Satan would tempt him with something, and he'd say, "It is written." And he defeated Satan, just quoting Scripture. Jimmy Evans says, Scripture is nuclear in the realm of spiritual warfare. And I like that. It is nuclear. So if we stand firm, like Paul says there, and we don't compromise in those areas, when the battle's over, we can be standing firm, like it said in verse 13. I know it's hard in the middle of a battle, but we got to read these armors and see where we're being attacked, because it will be in one of those areas. You know, it'll be God's truth, God's righteousness, the peace that comes from God, you know, doubting our salvation. All those things will lead us to go a way we shouldn't go. So even in the middle of our tough times, don't let those things lead you to compromise in your faith. Like we've been talking about the last few weeks, all these things, you know, they start in the way we think. If the enemy can get us to going on bad thoughts, he don't have to do anything else. You know, we'll do the rest all by ourselves. If you start looking for negative things, like we said when we were talking about comparing a couple of weeks ago, you'll find all the negative things you want. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 27, it says, if you search for good, you will find favor. So we can, if we search for good, like I said there in the beginning, we'll find it. We can even do good in bad situations. But if you search for evil, it will find you. You don't have to search long for evil. The Bible says it will find you. All you got to have is the mindset of letting evil in, and it'll find you. And you'll not only start thinking negative, you'll start talking negative. And once you start talking negative, then you'll start doing negative. You know, you'll start making negative choices. You'll start making the bad choices that'll lead you in a direction you don't want to go. You know, it says in Proverbs 23 in verse 7, that must be the wrong verse. There's one verse that says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. It may have been the one before that or the one after it, I don't know. But if we start thinking negative things in our heart, then that's what we'll be. We'll be negative. So we shouldn't dwell on negative things. We need to think about things that cheer us up. You know, Proverbs 15 and verse 13, it says, a glad heart makes a happy face, but a broken heart crushes our spirit. So if our heart is not cheerful or happy, it crushes our spirit. And it also says in Proverbs 18 and verse 14, it says, a human spirit can endure a sick body, but who can bear a crushed spirit? So once our spirits get crushed, we don't know how to repair that. We can't fix that ourselves. The only place we can take a crushed spirit is to God. And the only one that can fix that is Jesus. It says in Proverbs 17, in verse 22, it says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. So we need to think about things that make our thoughts happy. And I know you've noticed just about every week, a lot of our verses are Proverbs. There's a lot of wisdom in Proverbs. If you don't read Proverbs every day, I would encourage you to do that. That's a good devotion to have. You know, there's 31 chapters in Proverbs, and most months have, you know, 29 to 31 days. So if we just read one proverb a day, then that, you'll have that ammunition in you to fight back with. It don't take long to read a chapter of Proverbs. And what I love about them is most of these verses, each single verse stands by itself. You know, it's not part of a greater thing. You know, you can just read one verse, and that may be your verse for today. You know, it's easy to remember or memorize one verse, and you can keep that in your mind to fight against all those negative thoughts you have. So if you don't have a routine or a devotion that you do, Proverbs is a really good place to do that. You know, whatever the date is, I read that chapter in Proverbs. Like today's the 12th, I read Proverbs 12 this morning. And it don't take very long to read it, but that's good to have in you when you need it. So we need to stop dwelling on all the negative stuff. That doesn't do any good at all. It just makes things worse. And I know we all have, you know, bad experiences in our past that hurt us, and things that we're going through now that are hurting us. But just like we can look for negative things and find all the negative we want, like we just read in that verse, we can also look for positive things and find them too. I was thinking about my first marriage this week. It was full of bad things. And I could choose to remember all those bad things and dwell on them and hate my wife and talk bad about her and stuff, but I don't do that, you know. And so could my ex-wife. She could think about all the bad things I did and talk about me if she wanted to. But, you know, in any relationship, there was good times too. You know, we just choose to remember the bad things. We choose to dwell on the bad things. Like, I remember on our wedding day, you know, it was snowing, and we had to get from Newport to Chestnut Hill, because that's where we were getting married. And at that time, you know, I didn't have a workman and stuff like that. I had a little sports car. I had a Toyota Celica, and it was snowing like crazy. And my wife she wasn't my wife yet. She had on her wedding dress, so she's out there trying to push the car uphill in the snow, and then it wouldn't go. So I put her in there driving. Then I'm out there pushing the car in the snow, and I'm all dressed up. So by the time we did get there, we was both filthy and we was soaking wet and freezing to death. It wound up being a funny day, you know. So that's the kind of things I want to remember. Those are the kind of things I want to dwell on, because even though, you know, things didn't work out because neither one of us knew Jesus, neither one of us had any idea of what love was, but that's the kind of things I like to share with my daughter, because I don't want to make her bitter towards her mom. You know, it wasn't her mom's fault, it wasn't my fault. Neither one of us knew Jesus. We didn't know what we were doing, had no business getting married, but we did. So I'd rather remember the good stuff and not breed that negativity in my family. Not just to my daughter, to my granddaughter, you know. It don't just stop there. You know, it's got to stop somewhere. And I don't want her growing up with negative thoughts in her head. There's good thoughts that we can share if we choose to do that. You know, we're good friends today. Every time I go to West Virginia to see my daughter, I'll go by there and see her and her dad. Sometimes that's where I stay. So there's always something good to remember if we try. And it's good to remember good things that cheer us up instead of bringing us down. But there's no good that comes from dwelling on the bad things that happened in the past. You know, and the past could be 5 minutes ago. You know, if something happened 5 minutes ago and it made you angry or made you resentful towards somebody, you know, get over it. You don't have to dwell on that. You don't have to let that drag you down a hole. But it don't matter if it was 5 minutes ago or 30 years ago. It's gone. You know, don't dwell on it. Don't let it steal your joy. God wants you to be happy. You know, we talked about having a vision for the future a few weeks ago and making plans and having little goals to push towards so we'll have something to look forward to, you know, have those little victories in our life to cheer us up. So if you are doing those things, and I hope you are, I'm working on doing them myself. You know, when you do have bad days and you're in the middle of bad circumstances, don't let them steal that from you. Don't let them make you stop doing that. You know, keep doing those things. Don't let them steal that from you. Stick to your goals in spite of the circumstances. I like this verse in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 3. It's talking about the future. It says the vision is for a future time. It describes the end and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently. The plans that we make, they're not plans for the past. They're plans for our future. We need to hold on to those good memories that make you smile, but don't dwell on the bad things in the past. Those things will only bring you down. God's plans for you are not just in the past. They're in the future too. I'm pretty sure everybody knows that famous verse in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. There are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and not a hope." I mean, and a hope. So if you're down and you're going through a hard time, don't listen to the enemy. Don't give up. That's what he wants you to do. You know, make plans for the future and don't let him get you back into the past. Go to Jesus and get around his people and make it a priority to get to church and to reach out to somebody you know that has a good relationship with Jesus. Cry out to God for help and he will answer you. You know, that's what David did in Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3. David was going through one of the hardest times he ever went through. And he said, "I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry." A lot of us, you know, we get in a hurry. We want God to answer us right now. And I know from experience that don't happen. You know, a lot of times the circumstances we're in weren't created overnight. So they're not going to go away overnight. We have to be patient when God is working on our problems and be, you know, like David said, wait patiently on the Lord and he will come through. "He lifted me out of the pit of despair," he said, "out of the mud and the mire. And he set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. And many will see what he has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord." You know, we got to remember too, like he says there in verse 3, many will see what he's done and be amazed. They'll put their trust in the Lord. But they're not going to put their trust in the Lord if we're giving up in the middle of every time we have a trial and turn back to our old ways. You know, if every time I had a bad day, I was like, "Eh, what's the use?" and went to the liquor store and got drunk, then nobody is going to want any godly advice from me. Nobody's going to even consider me a godly person. So we have to remember, even on our bad days, we're still witnesses. We are still ambassadors for Christ. You know, people are still watching us. They want to see how we deal with hardships. Not that they're just wanting to watch us go through a hard time. Maybe they're going through the same thing and they want to see how you react so they can see how it works. So maybe they're going to do the same thing you're doing. So we're still witnesses when we're going through a hard time, and we have to remember that. You know, if you're down in the dumps or if you've wandered away from God, all you got to do is ask him for help. I went around doing that for a long time. I just stayed miserable because, one, my pride wouldn't let me go to God. And the other thing was I knew when I went to God, I was going to have to make some changes, and I just wasn't willing to make the changes yet. So I would rather be miserable than make the changes I need to make. But I'm glad now that I made them. God will help you. You know, if you're watching from home and you don't feel like you could ever come back to God, don't believe that. There's nowhere in the Bible does God say he will not take you back. Absolutely nowhere in the Bible. I believe that too, but it's not true. As a matter of fact, God is begging you to come back for your sake. You know, it says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20, this is Paul talking. He said, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. So if you're thinking that God don't want you to come back, the Bible plainly says, come back to God. You know, that's his heart's desire, is that if you've wandered off, he wants you to come back. And Paul's speaking to believers there. He's talking to people that have left the church, because he's not speaking to unbelievers. He wrote that letter to a church. And as believers, we're all going to fall. You know, none of us walk a perfect walk. I mean, we're going to make mistakes and we are going to fall. In Proverbs 24 and verse 16, it says the godly may trip 7 times, but they will get up again. But one disaster is enough to overthrow the wicked. You know, the godly fall all the time, but they get back up. Only the wicked stay there and make a lifestyle out of it. And I can tell you from experience, that's not a good lifestyle. When things go bad, they go really bad. So when you do fall, don't run from God. Run back to God. He'll forgive you and he'll help you get out of whatever you got in. He'll wash you off and clean you up, just like it says in 1 John 1:9. He'll cleanse you of your unrighteousness. So whatever you're going through, don't give up. You know, God loves you, and so do his people. And don't let the enemy rob you of the life that God has for you. No matter what is going on in your life, God will help you with it. Whether it's a death in the family, whether it's your children, whether it's marriage problems, you know, if it is your children need you and God, you know. I heard a sermon here probably, I guess it's been a couple of weeks ago now, but the pastor was saying, you know, we got these pictures in our head that our kids are fighting little kid demons. No, they're fighting the same ones we are. You know, there aren't child demons. They're fighting the same demons we're fighting. So if we're having problems with our children, we need to pray for them. We need to pray with them. Just like we, you know, we come under spiritual attack to our children, and we need to realize that. So whatever it is, if it's our marriage, your children, your friendships, problems at work, health problems, whatever it is, bring it to Jesus. You know, like he says in 1 Peter 5, verse 7, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. And he really does care about you, and he will help you. I want to leave you with this verse out of Proverbs. I'm going to read this one out of the King James because it kind of loses its meaning in translation. But it says, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. An ungodly witness scorns judgment, and the mouth of the wicked devours iniquity. Like I said earlier, the main reason that people make bad choices is because they listen to ungodly advice. Misery loves company. When you're going through a hard time, be careful where you're getting your advice. Jesus said, we will know people by their fruits. If you need marriage advice, don't go get it from somebody whose marriage is falling apart. If you need help with your children, you know, don't get advice from somebody, you know, look at their children. If their children are just as unruly or doing the same things your children are, then that's not the people to get advice from. You know, look at somebody whose children are respectful and obedient and say, how did you do that, you know? Or finances, you know, don't get financial advice from somebody that has fallen apart financially themselves. Jesus said you'll know them by their fruit. And you can't get godly advice from somebody who isn't living a godly life. So be careful who you get your advice from. You know, if you ask a godly person for advice, they'll be able to back it up with God's word. And they'll be able to share some scripture with you. You won't have to take their opinion for it. They can show it to you in scripture. And not only will they be able to back it up with God's word, they'll be living it in their life. Like Jesus said, they'll have the fruit to prove it. So when you need advice, make sure you're getting it from a godly person. Don't get advice from somebody that's just as miserable as you are. Because like I said a minute ago, misery loves company. And if they had the answer, they wouldn't be in. And when you get the godly advice, you know, prove it to yourself in God's word. Don't just take their word for it. Prove it to yourself in God's word and be willing to do what it says. Be willing to be obedient to what it says in God's word. And most likely, I know it was that way for my case, you'll have to make some changes to yourself, but it will get you where you need to be. So don't give up. I've seen enough people give up in the last couple of years. Take your problems to God and he'll show you how to get through your problems if you're willing to do your part. And let's be willing to help other people that are struggling with something. I told you before, when I'm helping somebody else, my troubles don't seem that big. They seem to kind of fade away because I'm not just completely focused on them. It makes my troubles seem a lot smaller. And most of the time, while I'm helping somebody else, God's working on my problems. And a lot of times when I go back to check on my problems, God has already handled them. So let's pray for each other and help each other and not just be people who go to the same church. Let's really become a church family. Let's get to know each other and care about each other and pray for each other and lift each other up. Get connected, get to know one another. You know, it's hard to help each other if we don't even know each other. But if you're not doing that proverb a day thing, I would strongly suggest that, because that helps me more than anything. I read that more than I read any other part of the Bible. And just in Proverbs, if that's all you had of the Bible, it would help you live a godly life. So I strongly urge you to do that. And I know God will bless you for it. But that's all I've got for tonight. And I'm running out of time anyway. Got a little long-winded there. But I know everybody in here is probably going through something. But God will give you the strength to get through it. And he'll give you peace in the middle of it. If you'll just give it to him and trust him. You know, God's word is true. He says he'll help you through it. All we got to do is trust him and believe that. And I know he's been faithful to me. And I've been in situations I couldn't see a way out, but he always makes one. So thank you all for coming out, and I'll go ahead and pray, and we'll be dismissed. I know you got to go out there and get the kids. I thank you, Lord, for being able to get it out here. I just pray, Lord, that you'll help it to reach the hearts and the minds that it needs to reach. And I just pray for everybody, Lord, that's struggling right now, whether it be a death in the family or whether it be financial, whether it be in their marriage, whether it be just in a friendship, or whether it's, you know, parenting with their kids, Lord. I just pray that you'd give people wisdom, Lord, and help them to know that you are the source of wisdom and you are the source of peace in the middle of a storm. So I just pray that you give everybody the courage to bring their problems to you, Lord. And we just thank you that we can do that. Lord, we lift all this up to you in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.